hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the boys.
You're listening to WGXC Acra. What up, Hudson Catskill? 90.7 FM.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marxist of Ghent, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this thing.
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio program, broadcasting live from the Cholera Alley Medical Center Division of the Catskill Makers, Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Cholera Alley.
Yeah, Cholera Alley. We are where the refuse of humankind happily infects everybody else. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good. And he's not lying. We literally are on an old cholera area of the village.
Ben, to my left, how are you?
Pretty good, man.
All right. Cody, how are you doing? Say hi.
Hi. I'm fine.
Tom, what's up?
He's out of it.
Wow.
Wow.
Tom is staring at the ceiling because I asked him what's up.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Tom, say something.
Something.
Boy, all right. Now people got your voice. There's Brian handling our equipment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
winter.
He's busy.
Okay, winter. Thanks, Brian. Good job. Yes, winter. Winter is a cold time of year. And welcome to upstate New York, where the frozen wasteland will freeze your veins. Okay, anything bugging anybody today that they brought to the table that they got to get out and complain about?
Yeah. The multimedia streaming server Gerbera, which was based on MediaTomb, needs to get better docs.
I don't know what that is. What?
I don't know.
The documentation.
I heard Gerber. Are we talking baby food?
No. Do you remember the software MediaTomb?
Nope. Never heard of it.
Let me Google that.
It's for allowing devices to stream over universal plug and play on your network.
Oh, that's cool. Oh,
okay.
And they can just pull videos, audio from a server.
Yeah, a lot of smart TVs and stuff should just see, like, oh, there's a stream on the network and I can play it.
Exactly what it's for.
So it's a Plex server.
Yes, but it's open source.
Okay.
Not Plex, which is closed source.
And a lot of people will do stuff like accidentally they will play, like, a movie on their phone and it might just start playing on their TV. This is what's doing that.
Yeah.
That has happened. So, no Pornhub when you're at Thanksgiving.
That's right. But anyways, they need to get their documentation in order, because I was trying to make it so only the media server directory was visible, and...
Oh, you exposed your whole system using their software, huh?
No. No, it didn't matter. Because by default, they block all the system DIRs.
Okay.
But, because I left out a trailing forward slash on the end of a directory specification in quotations, the XML parser just went...
Well, a forward... That's not a breakout. That's just a forward slash. This is not
forward
a,
slash.
That's not an
at
escape.
And yeah. Should define that you're specifically pointing to the directory. It's or
yeah.
What's
no, no,
in
no,
the
no.
directory.
So
okay, so it is
the spec is you put the directory in the quotations.
Gotcha.
With the forward slash, of course, like you would expect.
No,
yes.
A forward slash.
No,
I'm
describing the spec to you.
Oh God. Wow.
It's quotation.
Oh God.
You know, mount
just
slash
like
media
Windows.
Slash
internet. I mean
quotation. And then you need a forward slash after that, then the closing bracket.
Wait, did you just say there's a forward slash after the quotation?
I did. And
yeah.
Then there's the closing bracket on the XML.
You see, this is why Harry Carey exists.
Hey, somebody put a
yes, that was, that
the
was,
string outside of the string quotation.
Yeah, put the data we need to process outside of the string quotation, yes.
No, the string quotation's correct. You just need a trailing forward slash before you, the ending, the closing bracket.
Is that like
before
the function's
delimiter?
Oh,
before.
Like, well, we're done now?
You should have used JSON.
Four slashes literally explicitly mean everything in the directory. I'm not pointing to the directory. I'm pointing to its contents. That's everything in my utilization means that. Like, if you're going
anyways,
to do rsync,
that's
how
what I came with. It was bugging me.
Good. You want me to write angry letters at them? I'll do it too.
I don't have to worry about any of that because I use an iPhone.
Or the iPhone uses you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you just started playing one of my notes.
You are now a user.
Okay. So
user.
I went through a bit of a moral dilemma this week. I watched the Elon Musk saga. I watched Elon
Twitter.
Have trouble with Apple. And
wow.
When he started going after Apple and their horrible, horrible app developer policies,
mm-hmm. Oh,
for a
yeah.
split second, the switches in my brain went, holy crap, do I get to start rooting for Elon again? For a split second, like, I'm actually thinking that. I'm like, no. Is this guy actually, he's going for it. He's taking down the monsters. And then, like, a day later, he's like, oh, I had a conversation with Tim Cook and everything's fine.
He negotiated a better deal.
Yeah. So what happened is these two non-humans entered a room, and one of these robots reprogrammed the other one.
Well, to be fair, like,
wow.
Why can't Twitter just run in a browser in your phone? Like, why do they need the app?
So that the app can gather your data and
Cap.
Go through. And
that was always my argument. Like, well, why
digital
don't you just
colonoscopy.
Why don't you just make a real browser app?
Mindshare capture, sir. That's apps. Mindshare capture. Mindshare capture.
So he destroyed
Instagram.
Twitter, which
I
think is great. Some of my friends actually use Twitter as verifiable knowledge source because they could actually seek out other professionals, which no longer is possible.
So this is totally off the subject, but I just saw this article yesterday. It has to do with art. There's two like sheikhs or something from the Emirates or Saudi, and they're bidding over like a painting for Da Vinci or somebody like that. They kept on upbidding each other, upbidding to like $500 million. And they were doing that because they thought the other guy who was bidding was like the Qatari royalty. But it wasn't. It was like two dudes were going to buy it for themselves who knew each other. And they bid it up to $430 million
Wait,
for a
painting.
Were
they trying to get the item so that they could sell it to the royalty?
No. Or they like wanted to give it as a present or something. But they thought they were bidding against Qatar royalty. And so they'd be like me and Cody, like, hey, let's buy that car. And we bid ourselves twice over and we didn't have to. But then I thought, yeah, $430 million, you know, these are like oil sheiks. That's a lot. And that's a waste. But
not to that.
You're amateurs.
Yeah.
If you really want to waste money, you can buy a web app for $44 billion.
Oh.
Amateurs.
And then fire everyone that made it valuable.
Yeah, see how I brought it back there?
Wait a minute. Twitter was valuable?
It was worth a third of that. So
no,
what?
I mean, did it add value to your life?
What was this?
Did Twitter add value to my life?
Sure.
that helped me with the better weather would use it to promote better weather. In a tiny bit. But that never really amounted to much. That was mostly being done as a public service.
Twitter?
And, having any Twitter interaction whatsoever. I've had a Twitter account for like 15 years, and I don't use it. Twitter's stupid.
Yeah, I just look at it once every like month or so.
It would be good for checking out like...
news feeds. I got addicted to news feeds.
Was there a plane crash nearby or something like that? Like, looking into stuff like that, but...
I think he bought it, really, for influence, and that's it. Because the $44 billion was, a lot of that was other people's money. That was, like, private equity and stuff.
No.
But I think he just bought it for
He bought it because
influence.
A court forced him to.
I think his initial...
No, he was forced to buy it.
He definitely was forced to, but he made the bid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in a joke, maybe not, but...
Because he's an egotistical billionaire.
And you really... What you want is, like, the... the platform of the day. Like, you go back 50, 100 years, like, well, what are you going to buy if you want influence? The New York Times or Washington Post or whatever.
Hearst. Yeah, you want control over that.
You want to be like, yeah, you want to get Hearst. You want to buy these newspapers.
Oh, great. Now Elon
or
is Hearst.
Or you'd be like Fox 20, 30 years ago. What did they do? He was like, oh, Murdoch went around and he bought all the stations here. He broke FCC laws by buying too many stations that you weren't by law allowed to buy. He did it anyways and never got any pushback for it. Which is weird. I don't know how billionaires do that, but that's what happened.
Oh,
but today, what would you buy if you want influence? You would buy Twitter. You would control that feed.
Well,
and even if it costs you $1 billion a year, you're like, fuck, so, you know, screw that. I'll take it.
Well, it's kind of weird. I mean, that's the same sort of principle of what Uber did. Just ignore the law, Lyft.
Yeah.
Same deal.
And deal with the lawsuits, yeah.
Yeah, and that's called the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
But that's like that's how you find like a lot of large corporations for the stuff they do, and they're just like, oh, that's 5% of our yearly profits. There you go.
So the Mexican cartel is just... No, I'm just kidding.
Ooh, that's another note you just played, too. That's going to be another story.
Why?
Well...
I want to hear that one.
Oh, you see, where technology starts is with the military.
Yeah.
Then it winds up in law enforcement. And then it gets transferred to the cartels. And then from there, you make it to your backyard hobbyists. And what I'm talking about is automated death. We now have robots that
drones.
Are legally allowed to kill human beings.
Oh, you mean the San Francisco thing?
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. They're
killbots.
They're happy robots that help people.
So they shoot sunshine and puppies.
Yeah,
so
they're sunshine and puppy cop bots.
Do they shoot drugs directly into my mouth?
Yes.
No,
that's
that
a happy
would be,
bot.
That would be the healthcare social worker amalgamated happy bot. It's
so,
a different thing.
All right, so what you're telling me is in about 50, 60 years, whenever we have a disgruntled mob, basically the government will deploy drones that will just drop down from the sky and inject them with Soma and make them happy.
Soma? Where do you get that word from? I don't know the reference, Joe.
Sorry.
No, we already had
it. Mr. Aldous Huxley.
Yes, okay.
Hey, look, okay, nowadays, what do you want? Alcohol, marijuana, football. Soma.
Sell smartphones, Soma.
Oh,
football,
no.
Soma.
You know what?
Apps, Soma.
You know what? Soma's supposed to make you calm and complacent. And phones and interactions with other human beings nowadays, I'm seeing, does not do that. It riles you up, it gets you angry, and makes you dumber.
I think there might be a generational difference between people who are much younger than us, who it might not rile them up as much. Right?
No. Maybe. Politics. People are active and moving, shuffling their feet.
Maybe.
I think.
Maybe. It might be a cultural thing, too. I know in Japan, they've always adopted the bleeding edge technology and have been very fun with it, but we're a little bit more feral on this continent.
We don't like technology advancement.
We tend to abuse everything we get.
Yeah, well, profit motive gets right in the way. Doesn't really help. Tom, what you looking at over there?
I'm looking back to see our conversations, such as about crypto. There was a lot going on here in terms of the crash of FTX, and you know, is crypto a valid way to a bank?
Is it? I have.
Well, my argument was that it all comes down to the original legal tender that is issued by the federal government. So when they're evaluating their Bitcoin, they're equating it to dollars. So when you put it through a mill like this, it comes down to this original source of the trust in
trust.
The currency.
Yeah.
The currency has to have some reference. I mean, a moment ago you're talking about, well, maybe it has to be solid metal, gold, but that didn't work, and they mm-hmm. ran out of that currency.
Yep.
But the belief system is what really matters, and it's very hard to believe in something that only has value reference to something else. It's that something else that what? Has the value.
Until it's not that something else.
Or isn't that how humans operate?
Well, we also, you know, you talked about NTFs, the non-fungible tokens.
Yeah.
MFTs, sorry.
Scams, nonsense, crap.
But they're referenced to copyrights.
Yes.
You know, so when you give it the acid test and the paint comes off underneath is the substantive matter, which is a long history of hundreds of years that refined this concept of intellectual property to the point where you can codify it. And NFTs don't codify anything except in terms of...
It marks them, is all, and tags them.
You know, now, you know, presumably you could have an encryption system that you couldn't crack, so you could own a work of art that only your key would allow you to see or hear, but that isn't the NFT game.
That's not how it operates.
No.
Yeah. You're not unlocking the device, you're just proving ownership. And
yeah.
everybody else literally gets to copy your thing.
So it's worthless. And this is the same kind
But it's worth it if
balloon.
You think
it's worth
what you think it is, just like a dollar.
If people are playing by that rules and agree on the rules, then it's worth it. Like I said, trust. It's like those are the rules, and when you break that, then it doesn't exist anymore. But no, it is worth it as long as the contract or the belief, the collective belief is there. Just right. like
and
currency.
And you described every currency ever.
What?
I mean, with NFTs, it's a little weird because it's like you're reinventing the wheel. You already have a copyright system in the United
yeah.
States. It's very robust. Doesn't take a lot of effort. Basically, you just write copyright at the end of it, and you now have it. Like, you don't need, like, this soul-sucking global power-consuming thing when you can copyright something.
Literal
just,
power, like energy and coal and
yeah.
pollution.
So,
in,
so
yeah.
I...
In, 5 minutes.
I think a lot of it, especially like with, you know, whatever, Web 3.0 and all these decentralized ideas, is the blockchain is there so that you can prove, it's more about the third party proving of ownership of a transfer of asset, right?
Correct.
So right now, like let's say if you put a blockchain and connected it to all these local property ownership, or even global property ownership, you have a blockchain where you said, oh, this person owns this, and therefore they have the key, whatever, we transfer it. So it's kind of a ledger that everybody can say, oh, we trust that ledger because it's not broken. So it's more about having a trustable ledger with an invisible ghost.
It's trustable because it's duplicatable. You can find
an invisible ghost partner.
Places.
Yeah. So, yeah. People have been abusing it and speculating and, you know, selling whatever those monkeys for $1 million or $3 million that are now $10,000. Whatever, that's whatever valuation that's common to it. But when it comes down to it, there still is a provable way that you can say it. People used to look, you know, even in our lifetimes, we'd say, oh, I got a deed for my house.
A
title for my car. But all you have is this little piece of paper that says that. You can look at going back a dozen years ago when people in the big cities were stealing people's old ladies' properties by screwing with the title system and screwing with the entire thing.
They still do that.
They still do that. And they're probably doing a lot
nowadays.
Now because it's worth
it's
even more
easier.
Than it was
it's
in 2006.
Easier to do, too. So, I can pretend to be you. I can literally sell your house.
Yeah. So that is...
All I got to do is just do it.
All you have to do is you also line up whatever your insurance guys and your sellers and your buyers and the guy that you have at the county thing.
Yeah, but like you...
But with blockchain, there's other ways. There's other ways you can prank it.
You can't pay off the blockchain.
But what's...
I mean, but then you always have to, like, when you buy a property, there's the title insurance. So if somebody
yeah.
can test the title of the house, like, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And people go to jail for selling other people's
yeah.
houses eventually. But what I'm saying is, like, the proof of title of a house, if it was on a blockchain, would probably be slightly less prankable than it is now. It actually is more damaging now if you're on the MERS system, the mortgage national database for that. If
you're just on a local county thing, it's actually more difficult because people are hiding in plain sight with paper records. But if you're on MERS, people have abused that system to steal houses. But again, a blockchain would add that extra bit of provability and security. And so blockchain is probably really good for that sort of ownership proof. It definitely works for NFTs and whatnot, but you know, that was just
it works for NFTs, but NFTs don't work for anyone.
Exactly. So that's just sort of a scam and proof of concept in my mind of how blockchain could work for connecting actual goods with, you know, the record of it. But people are going to screw with it. You know, you can put – it's like the Enigma machine. It took them forever to crack whatever, 5 tumblers, 6 tumblers, add another one. What we have now is computers that can have a billion tumblers. You add a billion tumblers, somebody's still going to prank it, right? It's either you're socially engineering a county clerk, or you're mass crunching a database with all your qubit computers.
And then once you've socially engineered the clerk, you've gotten your verifiable mark in the blockchain.
But also, and with blockchain, when things get, people have been getting money back from scams that happened 3-4 years ago on various blockchains. So, in all these things, whether it's a paper record or blockchain, it's all eventually somewhat traceable. It just takes longer to trace all those little ins and outs of them. I think trust is something you got to have at a basic level and just operate that way instead of operating the opposite way as we do in certain countries. I'm not saying this one, but maybe, I don't know.
Well, that's kind of how they got to the mess that they got in, right?
Right.
Is that they put their trust into an exchange.
Oh, yeah, I know. Instead of having your own code on the chain.
And it's a human, you know, tendency to just trust and without truly understanding what it is that you're trusting in.
Instead of having your own big giant key on the chain itself, they put it on somebody else's account that had 1,000, 1,000,000 other accounts.
And even then, you know, the FTX debacle, they went and they converted it to a token that they themselves invented.
I know! That was the weird part.
They asset had no value.
Yes, the FTX token that they're trading
FTTs.
Privately.
FTTs. You've got a whole bunch of FTTs.
FTT. So what took it down was one tweet from the CZ or whatever, that CZ. That guy said something and it took it all down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Binance.
So.
He did one tweet.
It sounds
cash
like
out.
A bunch of idiots were punished.
I'm
going
to cash out of FTT and kaboom, that worthless token went to near zero.
And what do you know? There were no real assets backing it up.
Oh, there wasn't even rocks that were shiny and gold.
I'm gonna make your currency.
There weren't even any numbers on a electronic ledger.
There wasn't
in
even
dollars
there,
to
there,
back up what they
there
were doing.
There wasn't even numbers on a 2-ledger sheet, much less a 3-ledger crypto sheet.
My understanding was is they had like zero accounting. Like
oh yeah,
zero.
No, they did. They had no. Yeah.
I'm gonna make your currency go from being worth one of itself to being worth zero of itself.
Now, when somebody finally makes the dumbed down movie on this, it's going to make the Big Short look like Lex Luthor. This one is going to be like, oh yeah, it's like, oh my god, yeah.
So basically, one guy's like, I'm cashing out and just tank the whole thing.
Another exchange said, we're going to sell most of these tokens, and boom, people are, well, where's the money? Boom. That's why you've heard me say this before in the various shows and through various years. What are the two most important words of the last 15 years? Counterparty risk. What is the counterparty risk of the U.S. dollar? What is the counterparty risk of the renminbi? What is the counterparty risk of this? What is the counterparty risk of your thousands of different cryptos, because they're all different and some are stable. Like, everything is different, and you got to know your counterparty risk. And that's that.
I like Dogecoin.
Yeah. Oh, really, Mr. Musk? That sounds really good. Let's pump that up 1,000%.
Yeah, because that was easy to do, because, like, there's so little value in so many of the tokens, and so many people have so many Dogecoin.
And so, one little run turned. That's the interesting part, because like bank runs of 100 years ago, 90 years ago, was something. People actually go to bank, but bank runs today are just a tweet, right? One tweet and $8 billion of capitalization drains
in our
out
nice,
of Lilly.
Insulated, you know, first world country, yes, but in a lot of other places, we watch people do bank runs every year. Greece,
yeah.
China,
they did light that bank on fire a dozen years ago. Mm-hmm. And the pregnant woman died in that. I remember that. Yeah.
Lebanon just recently.
Yeah. But like bank runs can be instantaneous and just travel through the ether.
And they're self-sustaining because once you're like, oh crap, I got to get my money. I got to get my money because everybody puts it in a bank because they love trusting all their assets to a third party.
Or even bots that are looking for things and decide to stop loss things and whatever. Like that whole idea of cascade failure of bots doing things is we've lived with that reality for a decade and a half.
You know,
well,
it's
no,
really
actually probably
up,
what since the 80s, like that was a precipitate. What was it?
Yeah, but
it's Black Friday.
It's
Black
highly
Monday
unstable now, though. Black Friday, it was like you have to be on Wall Street to be doing that or whatever. Today, somebody, you know, just a fat finger fat fingers have taken out, like, accidentally trading billions of dollars. Like, oh, shoot, make the phone call, then correct that. That happens.
And you know that's what? True. But nowadays, you'll still be scheduled to speak for a New York Times conference, even though you pulled off the biggest heist since Madoff.
What?
Well, that did
that's
happen.
What Sam Bankman-Fried is.
He's scheduled for a conference. Yeah,
he got interviewed and he got to make a greater fool of himself and further. You see, it's news. It's the New York Times. So this was the news making news, which you're not supposed to do. But they scheduled it. They had Zelensky in there as well.
This was scheduled before the entire before the collapse of FTX. As far as I know.
Well, they had him on yesterday. They interviewed him yesterday, and he made a further fool of himself, saying such things as, I'm sure this will all iron itself out in due course, and people will be made whole.
Meanwhile, people are missing, you know,
he's lost everything.
Don't worry, it'll work out. We're going to be fine.
They
it's
lost
great.
Everything. There is nothing, zero and one, you know. The,
zero
the
and
bi-
one.
Binary situation.
Rather than, you know.
Somebody's going to jail over this one.
Oh, at least one person.
And you know what else is going to happen? More regulation.
Yeah.
More
red tape.
Regulation for crypto, which is probably an aim they've been going after for a while. But
I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, like, if you watch, FTX is not the first exchange to go bust.
So, I mean, do you want it to be illegal for you to own Monero, for instance? Or any other decentralized
No, I don't think
currency?
It should be illegal. I mean, like, if you regulated, like, other financial assets, I think it would legitimize it.
But the point is you're not supposed to be able to regulate it. It's supposed to be independent.
That's about everything.
I think that's smoke. That's just like the whole internet is supposed to be this unregulated morass, and that's totally
absolutely
not true.
Nonsense. Yeah,
and now it's
total nonsense.
Balkanizing again from the stacks.
I mean, it's ridiculous to even believe that. So you have to have some regulation once money's involved. Otherwise, you devolve into gangsterism, and nobody really wants that.
That's what's happening nowadays. That's the crypto gangsters. That's what everybody is. How they do their pump and dumps to
That's the problem. You don't want to be in a gangster's economy. Like
unless you're the one making the money. You're the gangster.
Then
it's
again,
worth
maybe
it.
You don't want to be the one making the money.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Like, three crypto billionaires that died under strange circumstances in the last month and a half.
Yeah, well, they weren't smart enough to
hire
security forces.
Oh, yeah. Billionaires.
Yeah,
well,
if I was a billionaire, I'd have my own army.
Nikolai Mushigin.
Okay, the first one, you got to knock that off, because Nikolai, he would have died anyways.
What?
Putin?
Why? Yeah, with his fully clothed, drowned with his wallet in his pants.
I'm going to just say
on
that.
On a beach in Puerto Rico.
That's not a crypto thing. If your name is Nikolai, I'm just
a
saying.
Thing.
I don't know, but there's like this nice, like, what an explanation, like your $1 billion security was undermined by a $2 wrench from Lowe's.
Yeah.
Oh, well, folks, you're listening to WGXE 90.7 FM Acre. And by the way, Catskill, Hudson, Copay, Kinderhook, whoever else our radio waves happen to bounce off of.
And they do bounce because we have mountains around here.
And a good tower. So those of you that have helped us out with this as sustaining supporters and in any good contributions to the fund drives, we thank you very much.
In Bitcoin.
I don't think, do they accept any crypto?
Probably.
Probably not, but no. You know. But the thing is, good Elon Musk's old company, PayPal, will now funnel crypto through it. So yeah, you just go through PayPal.
Oh, excellent!
It's all connected. That's like you say, not just regulation, but I think regulation is what we go to. I think stability is what people want in whatever form that is, whether it's government regulation or self-regulation. Clearly, that doesn't happen.
Stability.
Stability?
Stability of systems.
What year are you talking about?
Yeah, no, does stability look like food prices and the consumer price index increasing, you know,
well,
2 to 6 times above its normal
rate? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. When you look at the economy as a whole, yes, it absolutely does.
So the stability that most people ignore that growing out of is the last crisis we were in. They just opened up the spigots, kept interest rates at zero for a dozen years. That it's only doubling in the last year?
As a person that's like existed in you know...
That's like a can that got kicked really far
in
and really long.
For a long time, that's what it does. It has to have its own self-checks and corrections. It doesn't stay stable. It wavers from one extreme to the other, but it always corrects.
Yeah.
And that's why when the market dies, it's called a correction.
And the correction has been avoided because of whatever. I mean, this is a correction. Like, that double a year should have been a little bit more for 12 years, but we're getting it all at once because zero interest rates for a dozen years.
Well, not to mention also the fact
eventually
that
like,
has
you
have
its
an
effect.
Entire shutdown of the global supply chain.
There's
because
that.
We got real scared of a virus.
Yeah.
And at the time, we thought it was a good idea, and in hindsight, we're finding out we shot ourselves in the foot.
Cross contagion.
That was the cross contagion. That was the straw. That was not the cause. That was just the straw.
Yeah, that was one more spotlight showing problems with the system. I mean, the system ain't perfect. That's just the system I'm in.
Yeah. Speaking of cross contagion,
I'm not defending it. I'm
explaining
what I see.
Have any guys had any experience with supply chain issues, like finding things either on Amazon or locally lately?
I can't.
On what, like high tech electronics that aren't being built that are short?
Yeah, it was on optics.
What?
Yeah, so it was on cheap on optics. I can say that it took I can't tell the vendor, but it was. I ordered something. I figured, you know, maybe a month, 2 months. They were quoting me September of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is like
you can't wait that long.
No, so I mean, you kind of grovel, and you could like I just needed a few, so I got made whole. But
stick a penny in it.
Yeah.
Wow. So did you try eBay for used stuff and whatnot?
Well, there's the gray market sellers, and then there's the third party optics, which I try not to use in this type of equipment because. They don't work as well.
You need reliability.
It's a dubious quality.
Well, no, it's not. There's certain error reportings that don't necessarily happen with a third party optic that happens with the original manufacturer's optic.
Okay.
So you don't get as much feedback.
Exactly.
Okay.
In this case, that's kind of important. In certain optical cases, like you don't care because they just work.
So you just swap out temporarily with a crap.
Less.
And then. Figure you're going to go
less
later and
we're going to wait till this fails.
You're gonna
in about 3 weeks.
It
and
won't
then
fail.
Try it again.
Like it won't. Like the optic itself will not fail.
They'll just have a lower.
But the reporting is garbage. Or
I can
less.
Tell
than.
You off air which one it is.
No. We don't need to get into that. We're just
because
talking about,
they
talking about
might
the nature of the
mad.
Issue. Like
the
over
nature
the time
of the
product,
no, it's an error
going to deal with more
it's
issues.
It's basically an error report that you would expect to get, but you don't get that, and it manifests in a different error. Which has a different root cause.
Okay.
Okay, so it not only it's giving you bad data that will send you in the wrong
so
direction.
So yeah, exactly. Slightly less stable in a known way at least.
In a known way.
Right. So
that's
you're
good.
Dealing with crappy components.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I can't find a CNC controller to save my life.
Oh wow.
Because they're all based on FPGA and
FPGAs aren't
not,
being built. There's no.
They're being built. They're just being snarfed up by existing contracts that. Obviously, the fabs need to fulfill.
Wow.
All the little guys are going to suffer because all the big guys are going to buy everything.
This particular electronics board I want is out of, or from a fabless shop out of California.
Okay.
I forget exactly. Southern California. But they're just, They say that they're trying to adapt to a different type of FPGA, but a different brand, but I haven't seen much yet.
Wow. For me, I didn't want to spend the $100 to $140 for Raspberry Pis.
Oh, I got something. I got something. Ready?
Wait, hold that thought. So what I got instead was these $11 boards. These $11 boards that give you a Raspberry Pi 40-pin header with a USB, and you just plug in a library and put it on any PC. And any PC can have a Raspberry Pi 40-pin header. So when you finally get a Raspberry Pi, you just plug it in and morph the code slightly and take it off of a big, stinky laptop desktop and use it. So I got like a dozen of these little USB boards that pretend they're Raspberry Pi outlets.
Here's a real story. Adafruit today had Raspberry Pis in stock at 12 p.m. this afternoon. At 12:30, they were out of stock.
What? It took them a whole half hour to sell out?
Probably less.
I expect it to be like 5 minutes.
Probably less.
That's right.
So anyways, wow. If you need some emulate Raspberry Pis, I got like a dozen of these things if you need to.
At the moment, I can't think of anything I would use them for.
I mean, that's kind
of
funny. Like, you're emulating the cheap PC.
The header, yeah.
On a cheap PC.
Well, just if you develop it, then you can do it. Then
I mean, it's cool. I mean, I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
I got a Raspberry Pi 3 that somebody can buy for $150 if they want.
eBay. Oh my God.
Well, another player that is large but can't control it are the automobile manufacturers. They need these computers to continue the arc of development that they thought they were on.
They thought they were on it.
Well, yeah, wasn't it like General Motors or one of those guys has like 40,000 cars they can't sell because they don't have the electronics for it?
I know.
Something ridiculous.
Sure. All of them have more than 40,000.
They're starting to do
each.
Weird downgrades. To like BMWs, like, I think they ripped out like one
seat heater.
Yeah, seat, something like that, because the chip couldn't control it, so they're like, we're just going to get rid of it.
Yeah. There's another thing.
Rather than just put it on a switch and...
No,
that's like a variable.
Because somebody will leave
because
it on and set the car on fire.
Nobody uses switches anymore.
Use what is it called?
Your butt?
A varistor?
Yeah. No.
You
could literally put a, like, I buy snap switches that turn off.
A thermal snap switch.
It's
called a thermostat.
Yeah.
A snap switch.
A thermostat's a little different, right?
New from Honeywell.
What you described as a thermostat.
Or wherever will cost you more than what the cost of a Raspberry Pi is in the old days.
Oh,
it'll cost you about $20 for it, but in bulk maybe like 50 cents, $1, $5. But I've seen analog switches, like bimetal stuff, selling more than a Pi Zero. And I'm like, wow. Literally the choice between analog and digital is you want accuracy because you're not going to spend less. Right? But the other thing I saw about the new big three cars is there was a Ford F-150, at one of those public charging stations, and something went goo, and the F-150 Lightning, all electric, went dark, and the charging station went dark, and the tow truck was called, and now they're trying to figure out what went wrong.
Ooh.
But on the upside, it didn't turn itself into a Tesla Lamborghini and light itself on fire. It just went dark.
But it took out the charging station.
Or a charging station took out the
F-150. Or the charging station took out
the charging. Or the other way around, because pixies are complicated.
You're being unfair.
What?
The Lamborghini ignites itself because of user error.
No. Design error.
Seriously?
Yes.
What? Using it properly causes it to ignite.
Okay. You're going to hear a rant now. Let me tell you something about Italian design.
Stop.
Italians build the most beautiful castings, some of the most beautiful looking circuits, the most beautiful things you've seen in your life. But sometimes they like to set themselves on fire.
Is it a Buddhist monk?
like a Buddhist monk in Vietnam in 1969. Italian design likes to set itself on I am too sparkly and beautiful for this world. I will set myself on fire. So that Lamborghinis, they just set themselves on fire.
Okay, so you just described their yen for death.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
One thing I wanted thermostats. I work with them all the time. Thermostats break a circuit when it reaches a certain temperature, up or down. A thermistor responds.
No, that measures. Thermistor measures by changing its resistance.
Resistance.
I'm very familiar with that, thanks to 3D printing.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you definitely know. The copiers and stuff I work on all the time, they have heating elements and they have thermistors in them that, like, all over the place, so that if any point in it gets too hot, it just breaks the circuit. Your furnace has several of the exact same thermostats.
Thermal snap switches.
Mm-hmm. They
so do
off.
Mr. Coffee machines.
Mm-hmm.
They have one in them.
You need to, because, I mean...
Because they're made of plastic, and you might Lamborghini itself if you don't have a thermal snap switch on.
Exactly. You have an Italian coffee maker that goes up in a puff of smoke.
So Italian coffee makers are slightly different. They don't burn themselves.
They explode.
But they tend to melt their... heater units.
You had one that you were going to repair. Remember, it was an espresso machine.
It was Cheryl's. No, well, one was Cheryl's and one was Jordan's.
Yeah.
The same thing?
No, Jordan's was a lever machine.
Oh, okay.
And Cheryl's was the big restaurant one. No, they both got repaired. They're probably still broken again because they're analog devices.
With weird electronics
controlling weird physical things on it. It's the physical parts that go bad.
No, I was in there working on it. That has a weird control board that operated that
thing. But it worked. The problem with it is the mechanical and the electric resistance.
Okay, so the electronics work, and we can just assume they do.
Electronics rarely break on those older ones.
Sure.
But the valves smoke themselves. Oh, dishwashers.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Dishwashing? That's not a... Has it been your...
Yeah.
Your bane?
That's been my bane for about a month.
Dishwasher.
Oh, God. So what year is this dishwasher?
Oh, it's only 5 years old.
Oh, God.
Like,
if you said 20 years old, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you can repair that.
No. Like, I think, within the time that I've lived in Catskill, so over 15 years, I've gone through 3 dishwashers. It's insane. I don't.
Do they die or do you just get fed up with them?
No, the control board... craps, and that's the end of it.
I have a dishwasher that's been running for 15 years.
How old is the dishwasher?
15 years.
Okay, well, so who made it?
I think it's a GE, but I'm not sure.
Just get something old.
That's why I should get something old. Get on Craigslist and find like the 1980s dishwasher.
Yeah.
It still works.
The yellow plastic. It looks like it's been stained through years of just people's grimy fingers.
Yeah, that's what you want. That's what you want. You want that cleaning.
So
I want the survivor bias.
So
that one.
Yes, you want that. Yeah, exactly. So if it was me and that was a dishwasher, what I do is I'm just gonna put toggle switches on to switch this manually.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's what I do. But I did that once for my brother's pool heater. That turned out bad because the pool heater was powered by giant 150-pound propane canisters.
Oof.
So I was like, oh, your thing's not working. It's going to take it's $150 for a controller. You want to get we'll just swim in the pool when it's cold. And this is Phoenix, by the way. So cold means it's 85-degree water. So I'm like, I can fix this. I got 2 toggle switches. I got a Sharpie out. I'm like, okay, here's what you do. You turn on the first one. You turn on the gas, it clicks on, and then you turn on the second one, and that opens up your main, and it starts filling with gas. I wrote that in a Sharpie on the side of the heater. Turn on one, light, turn on two. Nope, they turn on one and two, and light up, and goes, boom, and a big lick of flame comes flying out. Eyebrow-melting flame, and I'm like...
Well, that's why we need computers.
This is a controller.
And that's why we made that mistake once.
And then I'm like, okay, I'll go buy one from Home Depot.
Brian, your capacity for cognitive load is just, it's too great for the average mortal man, such as your brother.
It wasn't him, it was someone else who did that.
Oh, well,
But
don't expect anybody else to read the manual.
It wasn't a man. I wrote on a Sharpie on the side of the machine, number one. Switch on. Number two, light it up. Number three, turn on the main.
It's numbered. It's a manual.
It was three. It was
so basically
right.
Light by the light, then apply the real.
Yeah, exactly. So the problem with that system there in Sharpie in plain sight was it was 3 whole steps. What I've learned since then, the perfect system has 0 buttons.
Yep.
That's what
no
we are used to.
No user action whatsoever. You want the system to control it for you because the end user is a moron.
But you can't get these Raspberry Pi Zeros because they're all sold out.
That's right.
You're going to go back to the switches.
It's key.
And the only thing that's standing between you and success is how you use the Sharpie.
So if
you
I were
to leave instructions that even an idiot would clearly understand.
If I were to do that same system today, I would have one switch and one snap switch. I would rebuild the little $150 brain for $30.
So wait a minute. So you would build all that and then take the Sharpie and stick it up your nose because you don't need it anymore.
Yeah, and then I just get rid. I'd say
just get high on the Sharpie.
I would just sniff the Sharpie for half an hour and go, here's some matches. Go light it up. I want to see what happens. wait. Let me turn on the video camera.
That's right.
Cell phone.
This is going on TikTok.
Look on TikTok when you look like Uncle Fester with no eyebrows. Oh, God.
So you might not be able to get a Raspberry Pi Zero, but you sure can get a knockoff.
Orange Pi.
Or
banana
an emulator.
Pie,
or a banana pie. Or
get yourself an emulator.
And
you
bang
put
your
an
head
old laptop
the wall.
Out there.
That's what I find the
edge connector all set up, and when they become available again, you can just swap it in.
Yeah, but the beauty of a Raspberry Pi is it's like...
Nobody's going to swap it in. They're just going to let that laptop
keep playing
the program. That's what they're just going to be... No, that's what's going to happen. They're like, well, it works. I'm good.
The laziness for me is all the other Pis don't have, like, a really good system. Like, Raspberry Pi has...
It has the support system. It has the community. It has everything.
You just... Also, when you just want to bring it up quick, you just boot it up on one of the three OSs on the chip that you downloaded, and it just works. The other ones don't have... Might not be as mature.
You
as
need
that.
To flash them and do stuff. Like you could just shove an SD card in the Pi and go.
And it goes, and you can start tweaking with it,
and
you're
good.
And
you pull
that
SD card out, put a different one in, you have a whole different project. I love that about them.
And what happened with that supply chain? They must have been missing a few components for it to drop out.
The Raspberry Pi.
Too many sacrifices at the Foxconn.
No, I think it's just because of the contracts that Broadcom has. I think they're just contracted. They're just way overextended. Mm. And with all the shutdowns and the supply chain,
it caught on in such a big way.
You see, Brian, your iPhone.
The hobby computer.
Do you predict we're getting back from that? Because people.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Your iPhone's not going to tell you about those sort of.
Yeah, people have been telling us that we're getting back, that we're returning from that. I'm not sure. I used to be very aware of risks that are in our future, immediate and medium-term future, but now I'm dark on that. Being like a lifetime Doctor Doom, I have no idea, which to me is shocking. Like, I have no idea.
Freightwaves.com.
Where the stuff's moving?
If you want to know what the supply chain's doing, go there.
Freightwaves.com?
Freightwaves.com. They are all about trucking and supply chains.
But that's kind of a secondary thing. I'm thinking about manufacturing, too. Like, what's going on in the stacks in Taiwan, in Arizona, in Portland.
Because when the truckers see the losses,
necessarily know what's being produced on the floor.
Yeah, because they're swapping that out left and right. They're playing this, like, poker game. We're like, man.
Yeah, that's at a deeper level.
You could change the order of what these chips are being done at because Apple asked for this or Google wants this or whatever.
Well, yeah, you just pay to jump the line.
And also, they're probably internally even, not just paying to jump the line, but they're judging like what's going to work best for us too. Mm. So, it's very tight that these systems aren't up yet at maximum capacity.
Well,
plus you got to think
maybe that's by design.
You know, in terms of semiconductors, you got to think of how long does it take to actually switch out however many layers of mask that you need to load into these machines along the entire chain of photolithography.
You guys think this is bad? You just wait until a solar flare takes out all of Taiwan. Wait till there's no more chips.
And then
the
5 or 6 Z80 chips that are keeping nuclear reactor from melting down, they'd be like, "Why the hell is that? Does somebody have one of these?" Like,
pretty much.
Is that the scenario?
Yeah, you're going to start having crews that are paid to do the work of that chip instead.
Well, yeah, that's the fact that inventories went down to zero as a way to save money, just in time
and increase profits.
That's the system's
true.
You lower that demand, you increase the profit.
They went from inventory to invent story.
Invent story.
Wow.
Well, that's what a supermarket does. When their shelves get low, they'll put up fake inventory to make it look like they still have something to sell.
Just on the front row.
Yep. And now they have gas stations where the doors to the refrigerated sections are giant screens. You don't have to look through the glass to see what they have anymore. You can watch the price change right away on the door before you even reach it.
Mm. That's depressing.
Have you seen that happen? Have you seen Weimar gas station screens?
Me, no, but I follow truckers. And I'm watching them go into stores, and they're like, look what we see now. Look what we got going on.
Oh, wow.
Where is the cyberpunk dystopia that I was promised?
I know.
Johnny Mnemonic, man. We got to do that.
We got Fred
this
Flintstone.
This is just a lame dystopia where it's like, it's got some tech stuff, but it's just lame.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when Al Gore isn't given the presidency.
It was the hanging chad, sir. The hanging... Hey...
Well, you posted that bulletproof voting system with the transparent screen that someone had come up with.
Yeah.
Where you can see through the screen to the printer as the printer prints out your ballot.
Yes.
How did that work?
That was weird.
Basically, instead of a screen, you're looking at like a see-through device, like one of the old clear phones from the 80s. You have a little screen that you put your choice into, and then you inside the device you physically watch it print out your choice onto the ballot and drop it in. And I mean, how much more verified can you get than that?
Maybe they give you the ballot and you fill it out with a pencil and
no, that's too much work. That's too crazy. That's insane, man.
Oh, yeah,
if it takes too long to count, that means someone's stealing it.
It has a hanging chad.
It's on a computer and counts too fast. That means someone's stealing it.
Where are the routers?
It's connected to the internet. I know that they're downloading my vote.
Swapping it.
Hey, but look, you know what? All those people with those concerns, you shouldn't blame them for it. Those are fair concerns.
But once you put that paper in the machine, it's opaque to you. You don't know what's going on.
Nope.
And it's proprietary information. You can't inspect it.
Yep. It just says, I cast your ballot, and I did it correctly. Don't worry.
Well, you're...
This system that I invented is a trade secret, even though it's of vital importance to...
The public, and it should be entirely open in public. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what? That's why Dominion is suing Fox, because they have a reputation to hold, apparently.
What? Oh, Dominion voting systems is
they're
suing Fox News.
Oh, yeah, for all the stuff. Like,
they were suing
them
for...
I even want it to go, but basically, if Dominion can prove that Fox maliciously ignored stories that could have exonerated them, then they can get them.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think that's possible that there was anything malicious going on. It was just... too complicated. That's it. Complicated.
I don't know. So they were suing Dominion. Dominion was suing Fox for over $1 billion in the claim. And it was like, oh my God, that's never going to happen. And then months later, the Alex Jones verdict came through and like, oh my God, that might happen
worse. You can do it.
Now, you know, journalists should have a lot of leeway to be able to say what they need to, and they should mostly be left alone. Which is why I'm saying Dominion really has to prove a case here. They have to show Fox's.
Did you just make an inference saying that Fox News has journalists?
I was going to raise the same exact thing.
I
don't think any of the media companies are actually...
I deeply apologize.
...categorized as journalism.
I remember a couple of the people that were being sued. I mean, there were opinion people, I believe.
Yeah, opinion people, yeah.
The
news
makes the news.
Yeah.
They were opinion personalities. I think OAN and Newsmax are also subject to the same lawsuits.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, and they'll not survive.
No.
Oh, no, they'll take out Newsmax.
They won't.
Newsmax is one of my favorite gems.
Like OAN could get a judgment for three boxes of Chiclets and go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Fox can absorb $3 billion easily.
Yep.
But OAN is like, oh, five boxes of chicklets. Oh, chapter 11. Chapter 11 time.
Yep.
Call the My Pillow guy for financing. You know, he sells, like, a lot of other crap now, too, because the pillows aren't enough.
So what we were saying earlier, it's all based on trust.
Yeah,
and
trust.
When the trust is gone, then the ability to do business evaporates simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Contracts are no longer a contract.
As does any faith in the body politic.
Yeah. Goodwill as a value goes really far.
Or
not having that as a value.
You could say maybe it works because in recent elections we've had some record turnout.
That was
the system stokes participation.
The referendum.
Or can, at least.
The sort of de facto referendum we just had.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. Ugh.
Yeah, but that's politics, and we hate that crap, so.
I know. Yep. Like, which criminal are you rooting for? At least with my sports ball team, I know one of them's mine.
Yeah, same deal. You root for the hometown criminal,
yeah.
The one that's going to bring the money into the town.
Yeah, but with politicians.
That's why Legs Diamond is still kind of a hero around here.
Yeah.
Legs Diamond?
Legs Diamond.
You know who that is?
He had a...
Who's a gangster up in Albany, right?
Hudson. Right over in Hudson. Right there, yeah. He controlled all of it for a time.
Legs Diamond.
Yeah, he was our little Al Capone.
Yeah. I imagine he talked like this, but he probably talked like this.
And nobody ever made fun of him.
Oh,
man.
My God.
Can I get high yet? No, we got five more minutes.
You're not already, sir? You've been slacking.
No, I'm here present trying to give my actual opinion, but, you know, you guys have made me a little depressed with news of the world, and I kind of got to balance it out.
Yeah.
And that's why anybody listening wants to hear that, if you actually want to, you got to stick around and listen to the after show. Head on over to WGXE.org, click on listen, and in the panel that pops up near the bottom, you'll see the Thingularity stream continuing. You could jump on it right now. You won't hear any break in our transmission, and things will smoothly transition into the after party.
And you'll start hearing four-letter words.
We are
FCC free.
It's also when Joe takes what little self-censorship he practices and gets rid of that tiny little sliver.
And then it all just spills out.
It spills out. That tiny little sliver is a lot. It's like
you ever poke a giant water balloon with a tiny little pin? It's kind of like that.
A giant water balloon that's...
full of gasoline.
Full of gasoline
and clown piss.
Has a glass, broken glass tape to its outside. That's what it's like.
Now, you see, if you add some potassium... that's for the after-hour show.
So if there are five people listening now, there'll be one or two after the
stroke
of the hour.
We have five right now, so...
We got... three guys and one old person who just can't change the station.
And it goes on the permanent record, Tom. So in the year 2020.
Yes, when we're all running for president, they'll be able to dig up our sordid past.
Yes, this will be the one piece of media that's accidentally archived on a crystal memory chip.
On a crystal lattice structure.
Because some Unix graybeard got his regular expression wrong.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
In the Thingularity archives.
And then in that year, it'll sound like us listening to a caveman going, bleep, 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 bleep. It'll be just like that, so whatever.
Now you see, Ugg, what you gotta do is you gotta take the bones and hit them together. Then you get the sharp shards, and you use the sharp shards to dig out the splinters. It's just technology.
That's how you get the automobiles back into production.
Yeah. Fred Flintstone style. Put your feet straight through the bottom and run.
Now those are good brakes as long as you're not on a hill. I tell you what. You don't want to run into a brontosaurus. That makes him real ornery.
Yeah,
don't
but...
Don't run into the brontosaurus.
That's where you get your ribs from.
That's the cocaine brontosaurus.
Oh, my God. The most ornery brontosaurus. But I tell you what, you got to keep them below like 2 kilos a day. Otherwise, they just lose it.
You guys. refreshing